One of my favorite verses, I've used it several times lately, it seems like, from up here, is found in Ecclesiastes. There in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." I have some other verses I'd like to read too. I want you to think about maybe a commonality in these verses, perhaps, as we look at them. In Matthew 22, verses 38 through 40, it says, "This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Galatians 5, verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Romans 13, verses 8 through 10, read, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." And in Matthew 7, in verse 12, "So whoever you wish that others, or so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I selected those verses, and I don't know if you can see anything that's in common in those, but I selected those verses because within those verses, there's a summation of what is being taught. Remember the Ecclesiastes? The summation of everything. We've got a couple of lawyers at least in here. They understand, I think, what that means, the summation. I don't know if they argue litigation in front of a jury or a judge. I'm assuming you have to do some summation, but at that point, at the end of the hearing or the trial or whatever, there's a summation that they want to try to do. They take what they have presented to someone to judge, and they wrap it up, and they want to put it in the best representation for their client as they possibly can. It's not the whole case, but it's a summation of the whole case. Psalms 119, verse 160, it says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." That's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about summation. What is the summing of things? You know, with a talent, we're very familiar, probably, with that. Sometime probably in the late 70s or early 80s. That became a very familiar type of symbol on spreadsheets. Save accounting people a lot of time. You put that in a sale, and it would sum up what other sales you wanted to be summing up. You point at the sales you wanted to be summing up. It would add up all those sales and put it in that one cell right there. It's the sum command. Very common, like I said, for accountants, to probably the couple of the most common areas in which it was found would be in the reports that accountants would have to present to their bosses. That being the balance sheet. A balance sheet sort of a snapshot of the financial condition of the company or something at that particular time. The other report that would be very common to an account would be a profit and loss statement. A profit and loss statement usually takes a period of time and gives a representation of how profitable the business has been over that period of time. Almost always you do one every year, sometimes every month, sometimes even a shorter time, sometimes a longer time. But summation is very important to those. I want to go, for example, in the balance sheet. What a balance sheet is,
physically, your assets, and the listing of your liabilities. And that is good.
Okay,
that's things that we have that we own, we possess. Things such as our cash. We'll get more into that later. Liabilities, I guess, would be things that might be sort of bad. Those would be a joke, perhaps. Things you owe for. And then the difference between your assets and your liabilities is going to be your equity.
How much skin you got in the game, I guess you could say.
That's what the business is worth at that particular snapshot in time.
But just as in these statements that we read tonight, or these scriptures that we read tonight, sort of a sum up thing,
there's more to it than just basic assets, liabilities, and equity.
Usually in most balance sheets,
you're going to start off in the order that I had it, but you're going to have maybe a heading called assets. You're going to have maybe a line down here below it
representing cash. Or maybe there'll be another line in there that says something like current assets. Those assets that are most equally or quickly turned into cash. And of course, nothing can be turned into cash quicker than cash, I guess.
So you're current assets, cash.
What would be something that a lot of businesses would have that would be easily turned into cash? Well,
their accounts receivable.
That's the money that the people owe them for things that that business may have sold.
Okay. Another thing would be inventory.
They're in the business, particularly if they're in the business of selling products. Their inventory will be something they've hopefully turned into cash quickly.
Other things that perhaps that they might have as assets that may not be listed as current assets would be maybe their furniture. And they may have a different category for that down here. The furniture. Their vehicles.
Those would be another type of asset.
And they may have, let's just put some numbers. I've got some numbers written on this sheet. Just have some numbers written in here. Yeah. The value of those particular assets that they have. And they may have a total right here. It might be $4,000, you see, right there.
That's their current asset, the value of their current asset.
And they may have another total down here that may say, you have $16,000,
perhaps, for their long-term assets.
And then they'll have probably a category down here called total assets. And that will be $20,000
in this case. I'm running out of room.
But your song command has been used at least, three times already? So summed up. Our current assets right here, there's some commands in this sale. There's some commands in this sale, and there's some commands in this sale. Some of this is here, some of this is here, and the sum of all your assets are listed here. That's the asset side of them. On the other, you have your liabilities. Well, sometimes they're listed right below there. You have your liabilities, and you may have,
what would be a liability you may have, Will?
See, you've got some inventory, so you may have some accounts payable.
What that means is that's money you owe people
for the inventory that you purchased. So you may have
let's say $500 you owe,
or inventory that you have bought, that you purchased, you just haven't paid for all of it yet.
So you may have your total current liabilities, which may be $500. And you may have some long-term liabilities, which might be a note you have at the bank or a loan. That's the only thing you've got under long-term liabilities. You've got $1,000 there, and then you've got total liabilities, $1,500.
As you remember, as I drew up earlier on the board, you're going to have equity. But your equity is going to be the difference between your assets and your liabilities. And hopefully that's going to be a positive number.
Okay. In our case, it is a very good positive number. Our total assets is $20,000. Our total liabilities is $15,000. So that leaves what? $18,050, if I'm doing my math right in my head, of equity.
That in there, giving the representation of a totaling up.
Now, if my boss comes to me and says, "How are we doing?" I say, "Well, we got $20,000 worth of assets."
I haven't really fully answered what he's really wanting. We really,
what if we really owe $50,000
in inventory?
Well, we wouldn't be doing near this. We'd be in the hole, wouldn't we?
Have lost money, you're losing money. So it's
important that when we look at a situation,
that we look at all of it. We want to look at the total
thing. We want the summation total. So when God has something He wants us to know about, this truth, it's going to be found over here. That's not going to be all of it. You're going to have to learn all the truth. You've got to study the whole Word of God to find the total truth of what God's trying to teach us.
The income statement, I guess I won't go through that and bore you with that. I have an income statement I could put out too, but income statement is just basically
the income that you've had, less the things that you've had to spend to produce it.
That produces an income or a loss. So all well and good, Barry, but that's a good point, but what about? Like I said, it's important that we look at the whole Word of God when we have a subject, especially a subject such as love. Those kind of, our giving. What is love? Well, we don't really understand love until we understand what God's written about it for us, have we? We understand this. I think the people in this room right here that are members understand that because we apply it all the time. Well, we apply, how do we do that? Well, what about salvation? How have we done that in salvation? We certainly have applied it to salvation. I got some scriptures I'm going to look at.
Make sure that when we talk about our salvation, we have applied this and not just this, or not just this over here. I think the world sometimes will do that. Other Christian
denominations will try to do that.
And I'll show you how.
First of all, and we'll go down through an order here that we're very common with. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." All right, I want to be saved, so I want my faith, and I found how to do it right now. Here's the way we need to be saved. We need to be saved by hearing. That's what the Scripture just told me right there. It's got faith in there, but hearing the Word of God is what's going to save me. We understand that there's more to it than that, don't we? Acts 16:31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Wait a minute. We didn't have hearing there. But we do have belief. So I can believe.
If I just believe, I can be saved.
Acts 3:19, it says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent, and your sins are going to be washed away. I have nothing in there about the hearing and about the believing. Don't we know better, though, brethren? And then Romans 10, verses 9 through 10 there. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right, so we have to confess with our mouth. And that's all it says that we have to do there. We have a believing heart that leads, it gives us righteousness, but it's the confession of our mouth. In that verse, it doesn't talk about the hearing, the believing, the repentance. It is the confession that makes one be saved, or allows one to be saved. First Peter, in chapter 3, verse 21, it says, and the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay, well, I'll which one are we going to put our hope in here? Are we going to put it in Romans 10? Where we just have to hear it? We're going to put it in Acts 16, where we just have to believe it? Which one of those? What about Acts 3? Are we just going to have to repent? Are we just going to have to confess it in Romans? Or here in 1 Peter, do we just, it's just baptism. All we have to do is baptize. The sum of thy word is truth. We know that. We practiced it, didn't we? We've done it. Proverbs 28, verse 18 says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Oh, okay, we've got to know it. It's just whoever lives right is going to be saved. Whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. I've taken the verses of hearing, of believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, and of living a good life. And we found verses that just talk about that one particular thing in that verse. So we want to just hang our hat on that one verse to the exception of the other ones. What have we done to our boss when we do that? We either intentionally or unintentionally, we, in a sense, deceive him. We're trying to get by with something, perhaps. It is the full word that we need to look into. And like I said, we have done it here, and we want to continue to do it. We want to strive to do it and help each other as we look into the Word. I know I did not, in my salvation, put it all together by myself. It could be done. It could be done. We've got the Word right here that has it for us. But I had help. I had a man that chased me outside the building, basically, to not let me won't say the word escape necessarily, but he wouldn't let me just turn my back on the truth. And that's what we do. We want to do with each other. We want to teach each other the whole truth. Because the sum of his words is true. What did Satan do when he tried to tempt Jesus? He uses the truth, didn't he? He tried to use the truth. Twisted the truth. Partial truth. So it's a ploy that Satan has used himself. That's all the lesson's about. Just remember to look for the complete truth. And in doing this lesson, I've run over about salvation, the things that we commonly think of and want to make sure that we practice. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing that Jesus is the Son of God. Hearing that Jesus died for your sins. Your belief in that. A true belief that will lead you to repent, turn from your past way of life that has sin in it, and to try to turn toward Him and confess with the mouth, as it says there in Romans, a confession is made with the mouth. And then to be baptized in a watery grave, coming in contact with that precious blood of Christ, and then to live a life thereafter, after Jesus. That is the whole truth. That is the totaling up or the summing of what God has wanted us to do for salvation. Or is there any here tonight that can understand that, as I have tried to present it, and has not at this time, then the opportunity is now for you to do that. Don't have somebody chase you up the hill. This is the best opportunity. There's not given maybe an opportunity to do it. If you've done these things and you've not lived a righteous life, you've not lived the life that you should have, then you can still come back, repent, and ask for God's forgiveness, have the brethren pray for you, and you can be restored to the family of God. If there's anyone here this evening that we can assist in any way, if you will, please come forward as we stand and sing this song.
There's a fountain breathing for you.